Ephesians chapter number 5 and also John chapter 2. And probably in light of that, you know where we're going. Probably it's been now, I guess, maybe 3 weeks ago or so approximately. On a Sunday morning, I began a message on being filled with the Spirit. And we have not been, we did come back to that, and I dealt with a second message on being filled with the Spirit. In fact, I think it was on that Sunday night, but I don't believe we've been back in that, but I want to try to jump back on that because I believe tonight that it is the greatest need. I know it's the greatest need in my life, without a doubt, and the greatest need in your life, the greatest need in our church is to be filled with the Spirit of God. The New Testament, the book of Ephesians, that deals with the Christian victorious life, the victorious Christian life, parallels itself with the Old Testament book of Joshua. And of course, the book of Joshua deals with the victory of God's people in the land of Canaan and over various enemies. And certainly the book of Ephesians deals with the Christian life being a victorious life. And I believe that we can find in this book how you can have a victorious Christian life. And I believe every Christian should be interested in that. I believe every saved person ought to be interested in that. I don't know one person that enjoys a defeated life. I don't know anybody, any church person, I don't know anybody that enjoys a defeated life. Amen? Have you ever tried to find joy in the house of God when you're not right? When you're not right with the Lord and you know, man, isn't that awful? I mean, that is toilsome and burdensome and it's terrible. In fact, to be honest with you, it's boring. Church in and of itself is boring to a carnal person. Amen, it's boring. Amen, because a carnal person is a person that's living after the flesh, a person that's interested in the appetite of the flesh. And when you go to church and there's not anything carnal put on the table, amen, not anything carnal put on the menu, then there's nothing for the flesh to feed on, so they're bored. The flesh life, the carnal life, I don't know why I'm on that right now, but that it really feeds on entertainment. You got to have something to entertain the flesh. And of course, church is not built on entertainment. It should not be interested in entertainment. It should be interested in worship, worship of the Lord. So we need help in that area, amen, no doubt. But we need tonight to be, in fact, it's a little bit more stronger than we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. It is the will of God. I wonder, do we really understand that? I wonder if we really get that. Being filled with the Spirit of God is really the will of God. Look in chapter 5. I'm not going to read much of these verses, but I want you to look in verse number 16. And of course, Paul's giving instruction all down through these verses, but let's just look in these verses here just quickly. Actually, let's back up just a little bit for reading's sake. And let's look in at verse 13. But all things are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I noticed that. In fact, I noticed that there just a moment ago. Verse 16 ends with the days are evil. The days are evil. But then verse 17 talks about understanding what the will of the Lord is. I wrote right beside of that in my Bible, and I don't think there's anything wrong with taking notes and word definitions and sayings and things to write in your Bible for the sake of memory. You know, I don't think you'll just go through and use your Bible as a coloring book, but I think it's nothing wrong with making notes. And I wrote beside of this verse, the evil days does not cancel out or change the will of God for your life. The days are evil, verse 16, but verse 17 talks about the will of God. Amen. I want to say it again. The difficult, the evil days does not cancel out or change the will of God for your life. How many times have I heard, well, preacher, if you understood what I was going through, you'd understand why I never come to church.
Come on.
No, no. The evil days don't change the will of God. And the will of God is seen in the Word of God. The Word of God is the will of God. Amen. That's right. Hello. Verse 18. And connection, conjunction, joining up with that. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts, in your heart to the Lord. It's one thing to sing about the Lord, but it's another to sing to the Lord. I believe our song service would go to another level, Brother Craig, if we'd sing to the Lord. Definitely, we're not taking away from the importance of singing about the Lord. A lot of churches have gotten away from that. They've gotten into this thump and bump music. They got into this music that'll make you wiggle instead of worship. Say amen right there. If it moves your feet before it does your heart, God's not in it. That's right. And I call them 7-11 songs. It's got seven words and they repeat them 11 times. Of course they're going to feel something after that because they're going to be numb. But anyway, I got to get off that. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's pray, and I'll have you to be seated, and then we'll reference John chapter 2. Father, thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We pray, Lord, that you'll give us instruction, insight from the scripture, and help us to be mindful of you. Help us, God, to say what you want said, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We've dealt with, I believe, two messages, possibly three, on being filled with the Spirit. And I want you to look in John 2, and I'll show you the parallel, but we'll be bringing the main part of the message tonight, and I am going to attempt to finish the message tonight if that's possible. I don't know if that's possible, but we'll see. If the Lord don't give us liberty, I know it'll be possible. Say amen. Preachers, you understand what I'm talking about. Amen. God gets in something what you thought would be 5 minutes turns out to be an hour. But then I have gotten the pulpit with enough truth and information. I thought, man, this will preach for a month in a series, and it'd be tight as a drum, and you'd go through all of that three times and be done. And you think, goodness, the Lord makes all the difference, don't he? John chapter 2, verse 1, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men hath well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now look in verse number 7. Verse number 7, the Bible said, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots. That word fill there, and also in that same verse where he said, and they filled them up to the brim. The word fill and filled is the same identical word that is used in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. I wonder how many of us are interested in being filled with the Spirit. Dr. Percy Ray, I know several of you at least heard of him, probably one of the greatest men of God of our time period. And he's in heaven now, but a great prayer warrior. He prayed, I mean, God would do what he asked. Estes Perkle said he was God's little pet, that God did everything he asked him to do. Dr. Percy Ray made this statement in the light of the subject of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I also wrote that in my Bible. He said, you won't go far on empty. How important it is for you to be filled and refilled and refilled and refilled. To be indwelt by the Spirit of God, the indwelling of the Spirit of God, that comes at the moment of salvation and is not repeatable. Amen. The indwelling. But the infilling of the Holy Spirit is an everyday, all day, continuous need in your life. You say, well, if I'm filled, why do I have to be filled again? Because you leak. You got holes in your life. Amen? And you need to be filled and refilled and filled again. Amen? And the meaning of there in Ephesians 5:18 is be filled and keep on being filled. And certainly we need that in our day. Amen? That's right. And I wonder how many people in church will live their life and die, and live their whole life and die and never know what it is to be filled with the Spirit. I mean, really, a lot of people in church are not even interested in it. They never even pray about it. They never pursue it. They never even do any personal study themselves about it. Amen. But it's a crucial thing. It's a crucial need. But we find in John chapter 2, when Jesus, twice in verse 7, uses the same identical word, I believe that we can parallel these two passages, and we can get a demonstration or an illustration in John chapter 2 of what is meant by being filled with the Spirit and the results of it. And so we've looked at that, and I'm not going to go back and re-preach what I've already preached. But first thing that we dealt with by way of remembrance, just refreshing your remembrance, is that the first thing we talked about shown in John 2 is there must be a craving of being filled. There must be a craving behind it. It must be, us being filled must be preceded by having a craving. Where do you get that? Verse 3, the Bible said in John 2 and verse 3, and when they wanted. The key to this whole miracle in John 2 is then that one word, wanted. Jesus never has done anything for anybody that didn't want it. Amen. Jesus has never saved anybody that didn't want it. Now I know the natural part of a man and a woman, boy and a girl, when God gets to dealing with them, is to run from the Lord and to reject the Lord because they don't want the Lord. But I believe after the Spirit of God gets to working in your heart and gets to working on you and taking the light of God's Word and the convicting work of the Spirit of God, He begins to work in you and begins to work on you and begins to turn you from sin unto the Lord. He's the one that brings you to the place where you want to be saved. Amen. That's why I can say I believe scripturally. God will save anybody that wants to be saved. Amen. God will never save anybody against their will. But that's another whole message. But anyway, there must be a craving. You don't get saved till you desire it, and you'll never be spirit-filled till you desire it. There must be a hunger. There must be a craving about that particular need. Number two that we looked at, we moved on from that. If you want to know all about that, then you can get the CD or the DVD of that. But the second thing we show you in verse number five is that there is a command of being filled. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Nobody is filled with the Spirit of God that has a rejectful attitude toward the commandments of God. Amen. Well, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. That's not a spirit-filled person. A young boy or a young lady that's son or daughter says, well, Mom and Dad ain't going to tell me what to do. That's a rebellious spirit, and they'll never be filled with the Spirit of God like that. Amen. And I promise you, nobody gets saved, by Jesus just simply being the Savior. He's going to be your Lord. And that means He's going to be your boss. Amen. And you should want that. If you're not saved, you should want that. I remember back the first 20 years of my life, I drove. I was in the driver's seat of the choices and direction of my life spiritually. And that's why I was always wrecking. I was always in the ditch. I was always on dead-end roads. Amen. Because I was lost. And a lost person don't have any sense of direction. They'll be on the broad road headed for hell and be smiling on the way. You don't have any sense of direction. Amen. But when I got saved, I was tired of my life. I was tired of driving my life. I was tired of the direction of my life. I was tired of that. Amen. That's right. And when I got saved, I willfully, gladly accepted Jesus not only as my Savior, but as my Lord. And I'm willing for Him to step to tell me what to do. Yeah. Lord, I want you to tell me what you want me to do as long as it's convenient. As long as it's comfortable. Rarely is the will of God convenient. Rarely. Amen. Oh, yeah. So there's the command of being filled. He said, fill the water pots, verse number 7. Fill. That's not a suggestion. Amen. Spirituality will never be built off of suggestions. Turning the commandments of God into recommendations. The commandment of God is clear. And they're not grievous according to Scripture. So there's the command of being filled. Being filled with the Spirit of God for every boy, girl, mom and daddy, grandma, grandpa, every saved person. The will of God is that you be filled with the Spirit. Amen. In Ephesians 5:18, it talks about what is not the will of God. Be not drunk with wine. But then in the same verse, it tells us what is the will of God, but be filled with the Spirit. Did y'all get that? There's two commands in that verse. One is what we're not to do, and one is what we are to do. Makes sense, don't it? That if I do what I'm not supposed to do, be drunk with wine, I've sinned against God. But on the last part of that verse, it tells me what I am supposed to do. But if I'm not filled with the Spirit, I likewise have sinned against God. We need an altar call now, I guess. But there's the command of being filled. Number 3, this is where we're at. I want to talk about the compliance of being filled. Verse number 5, the 7-word recipe for revival in the victorious Christian life. Whatsoever he saith unto you, and here's big words, do it. Amen. If we would do what we know we're supposed to do, we would already have revival. Amen. Doing the will of God has never defeated me. Can I get a witness on that statement? Doing the will of God has never defeated me. Saying yes to the commandments of God has never defeated me. It has never took my joy. No, but when I'm disobedient, amen, or partially obedient, then my joy leaves and, amen, I'm defeated and I'm down and I'm discouraged. But there's the compliance. Jesus said, do it. Mary told him, said, here's how you're filled. He said, do what Jesus said. Whatsoever he saith to you, do it. Now I know the word there in that 7-word statement that really gets our attention is that word, whatsoever. We don't like that word. Say amen right there. We want to stipulate and we want to say to the Lord, okay, all right now, Lord, I'm willing to obey as long as it is in this area or as long as it is out of that area. I'm willing to obey. But that word whatsoever is a limitless word. Whatsoever throws the boundaries wide open this way and the boundaries wide open this way and says, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. That's the key right there, don't you think, to being filled with the Spirit of God is obedience, complying to the commandments of Christ. Nobody's ever been filled with the Spirit of God that weren't obedient. Dr. Sammy Allen, a great hero of our day, made this statement: the key to the Christian life is obedience. We want to complicate it, don't we? We want to make it complex. Oh yeah, the Christian life, you got to do this, you got to do that, man, this is, you know, and we make it so complicated, nobody thinks they can even live for God. Isn't that the truth? I mean, I've heard preaching before that that made me think that I couldn't even live for God. You know, I thought, Lord, have mercy. If I try to line up with you and all dotting the I's and crossing the T's, it ain't no way. Ain't no way. Are you listening? But I tell you what it is. It's obedience. Amen. You can't hardly please man, but you can please God. What about that? Amen. Sometimes you can please God easier than you can please man. Amen. The commandments of God are not grievous, but when you get into the pleasing man area of life and start lining up with all their rules and regulations and all of those rules and regulations, which half of them ain't even in the Bible, you'll be ready to jump off a bridge. Amen. But the key to the being filled with the Spirit of God, simplicity, is this right here: obedience. Whatsoever he said to you, do it. Amen. And I don't believe that obeying God ought to be an irritant. Amen. Why is it we argue with God? We know what the will of God is. God says do it, and we argue with God about it. You know why? We're looking for the easy route. Yeah, we're going to have to quit something. We're going to have to give up something. We're going to have to start something. And the flesh don't like it. Turn the irritation of obedience into an ambition of obedience. Instead of I got to mind God, I get to mind God. I want to mind God. I want to be obedient to God. Amen. Well, God can do something with somebody like that. Our obedience, listen, I don't know, have I preached this point yet here? I don't think I have. Our obedience says to God, it's your turn. Well, that's good. Lord, give that to me. Because the Lord said to them, okay, here's the plan. Fill the water pots. Get filled. Here's the plan. Get filled. Those water pots represents their life. Amen. Get filled and then watch me work. No, we want God to work without us being filled. Obedience says to God, it's your turn, and God will never let you make the last move. Obedience is what I can do, but the results of obedience is omnipotence, and that's what God can do. See, we want the omnipotence part. We want to see God's power without our obedience. But it won't happen. Omnipotence is in results in response to our obedience. Amen. I like this statement here. God give to me. God will get involved where there's obedience. Isn't that simple? They had a need right there, a need that they had no answer for. They couldn't solve it. They had a problem. Amen. But guess what? Obedience involves God. Yeah. God says, I'll get involved if you'll just obey me. What would that do to our church? What would that do to your home? What would that do to your individual life? God will get involved if you'll obey Him. How many young people wants God involved in their life? Not being a part of your life, but being in your life and involved in your life, included in your life. A lot of people go to church and they don't even have God included in their life. God, amen. I know we don't do this, but this is the way most people live, is that when we leave church, okay, God, I'll see you later. He don't stay here when we're gone. No, sir. When the last saved person walks out the door, God's gone from this building. Yeah, see you later, God. I think I referenced this, let's see, maybe Wednesday night when I was talking about, yeah, it was Wednesday night, we was talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. Now Peter said, oh, it's good for us to be here. And they said, Peter said, let us build three tabernacles. And he identified who they were for. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. Have you ever wondered why? Now I'm giving you the meat of a message I've been working on. Have you ever wondered why Peter said, Lord, it's so good for us to be here. Let's make four tabernacles. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus, and one for me. Have you ever wondered why, Brother Frankie, that Peter never asked for a tabernacle to be built for him? You ever thought about that? I believe it's because he intended on God and them to be right up there on that mountain. The patriarchs be up there on that mountain. And he would just visit. Peter would just visit. Come and go. Come up on the mountain. How you doing, Lord? Good to see you there, Moses. How's it going, Elijah? Hey, tell me about it. Okay, I've heard enough. See you till next Sunday. See you. And they leave God on the mountain in his tabernacle. Amen. But I want to tell you, God is not going to be one that you visit. Amen. He's not going to be one that you visit and you come and go as you please and you got him hemmed up and locked up in a little temple on the tabernacle on the hilltop. Amen. That right there is the modern day appealing so-called Christianity. Who wouldn't want that? Oh, I can get a Jesus that I can just visit. He don't have no say-so in my life. He's not giving me no commands. I don't have to obey nothing. I can just visit him every once in a while and see the glory and amen and shout and all of that. But he has no say-so in my life. Well, I better get off that. Amen. God will get involved where there's obedience. And let me say this, too. When you obey God, it requires faith. And here's why. Because much of what God tells you to do will not make sense. Okay, Lord, here's what we need. We've ran out of wine. We need wine. Okay, all right. Here's six water pots. Fill them with water. And I studied that out one time. Those water pots were used for washing their hands and their feet. In other words, it was far from being sanitary. Jesus didn't tell them to clean them out now. Go clean them out good. He's told them, go fill them with water. But Lord, we don't want water. We don't need water. What we're wanting is wine. Sometimes with the Lord, actually not sometimes, a lot of the times, my friend, God tells you to do something, it's not going to make sense. When God tells you to do this and do that and go here and go there and all of this and quit this and stop that and start this and that. Hey, it's not going to make sense. Amen. So it's going to require faith. It says, Lord, okay, I don't know why. I can't see all the sanitary aspects of it, but here it goes. Lord, you said to fill them with water, and that's exactly what we're going to do, and if it flops, it'll show on you. We're going to do it God's way, and if it turns out to be a mess and people get sick and die from germs, it's going to be look bad on you. And I want to tell you, can I tell you something? Jesus is never going to look bad. The only thing that makes Jesus look bad is when he tells his disciples do it and we don't do it. Our disobedience is what makes him look bad. Casts a bad light on him. But obedience requires faith. Then also listen to this, and I'm going to move on. Our obedience is a must. Disobedience will choose the lesser. What did Jesus say to do these pots? Brother Ivan said it. Jesus said, fill them. Okay? Disobedience chooses the lesser. Disobedience will put a few gallons in those six water pots of stone and we'll say, okay, that's enough. I went far enough. That's good enough. Write it down. Disobedience always chooses the lesser. A person that has a disobedient spirit, a disobedient heart, an unsurrendered, if I could say it another way, an unsurrendered spirit, guess what? You will not say to the Lord, okay, this is good enough. This is far enough. You want it filled, but I'm just going to put half of it full. Disobedience always chooses the lesser over the greater. Let me ask you a simple question. This got big to me. I don't know that I'll get done tonight, and I'm not really worried about that. Let me ask you this question tonight. Had they only filled those water pots halfway? Now, that was pretty good now, wouldn't you say? I mean, they would take six water pots that were empty. They're half full. Praise God. That's a lot more than they were. My question is, and God asked me that, would Jesus still have performed the miracle had they only filled them halfway or three quarters of the way? How many think he would have went ahead with the miracle even in spite of their disobedience? All of us in here would say no to that because that is the right answer. When Jesus said fill them, he did not leave the measurement up to you. Because that word filled gives the clear expected amount in those pots. And by the way, God's commandments are his expectations. So I want to ask you again, do you think that he would have done the miracle without full obedience to the Lord? And the answer to that is no. And I'm telling you, that's big. How many of us have robbed, listen, how many of us have robbed Jesus of him performing the supernatural, the miraculous, because of our partial obedience? No, listen, here it is, a little simple one-line statement. No obedience, no miracle. What do we need? What do we need in our day? We need the supernatural. We need the miraculous. We need the divine. We need the heavenly. We need the holy. We need God to move in our midst, and we need to see God do the supernatural, do we not? The supernatural is in response to us being spirit-filled. Goodness. Man, that got big. Jesus, notice this now, Jesus didn't fill the water pots. He could have. He could have spoke the word and they'd have been filled. But no, he wants you to have an input, a responsibility, amen, into his work. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing, Brother Randy? Jesus could just write the gospel in the clouds, or he could have put the message of the gospel in the bird's mouth, and it could be spread around the world in 24 hours. But he included us. He allowed us to have part. He could have done it without us. He could have done the supernatural without us. He could have performed the miracles without us. But no, he has set it up and have ordered it to where he uses us. Oh yeah. No, listen now. No obedience equals no miracle. Goodness. I don't know. Man, we need to meditate on that, son. I hope y'all will do that. I hope you'll meditate on that. Listen, it's not the drinking crowd, the doping crowd. It's not the political crowd. Amen. Doesn't matter if it's Democrat, Republican, or whatever. It's not the sodomites, lesbians, transgendered bunch. It's not that crowd that's keeping Jesus from performing miracles. Oh my Lord, drive that home to us. Amen. It's not that wicked crowd, Brother Carroll, that's hindering Jesus from performing miracles and doing the supernatural.
Right.
It's that crowd that Jesus says, do it. And we either don't do it or we partially do it. Either way, partial obedience is equal to disobedience. And we're the reason that we're not seeing the supernatural in our churches. I'd hate to know, and I'm not concerned right now how far I'm going to make it tonight. I want us to get this right here. I would hate to know that the power that I'm seeing in our Baptist churches is all the power that God has. I travel a little bit, preach a lot of churches, and I don't know why the Lord's opened that door. Note that for me. But across the board, generally, most churches, I'm talking about churches like of like faith, it's got their doctrine right. They use the right Bible, King James. I mean, they're straight. They're right down the line. But they're dead as 4 o'clock. No power. No power. I believe we're missing it. I believe we're missing it. I'll tell you, I don't know. I could give you some stipulation or some guesswork about what I think we're doing, but I think a lot of churches are missing it in that we're throwing out a few little standards and people are lining up with those standards without any spiritual life. I think that's it. I think most churches have got a few standards in it, and every church has to have them. And by the way, standards are not for the spiritual. Standards are for the carnal. Amen. According to Galatians 5, a person that's filled with the Holy Spirit and is bearing the fruit of the Spirit, against such there is no law. The Bible said you don't need a sheriff around where a person's spirit filled. A person's being controlled by the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have a law around them. You don't have to have a security alarm and lock your doors around somebody that's filled with the Spirit. But you have to lock your doors not to keep the spiritual out, but to keep the carnal out. Amen. That's right. Well, amen. But that drinking crowd, doping crowd, is not what's killing the church and keeping us powerless. I tell you what it is. You want me to tell you what it is or who it is? It's all of us that God says, do it. And it's clear what he wants done. There's no question what he wants done. It's plain. And by the way, how many of us know just really how plain Jesus can speak? How plain the word is. And Brother Jason, Jesus says do it, and we're not doing it. Half full, three quarters full. Do you know 7/8 full, still not full? My soul. Let me deal with another one quickly. Or I may just start on it. Verse number seven, and the reason I wanted to at least introduce this point is because I almost dealt with it in that last statement. Verse number seven, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. The next point is to be number four, I guess it is. I want to talk about, or at least start on, the completeness of being filled, the completeness. Not doing part or portion, but doing, and notice this. I'll just give you this real quickly. Notice this statement right here. Jesus did not tell them to fill it up to the brim. Jesus just told them to fill them. They added that. And I thought, Lord, why does it add that information there? And they filled them up to the brim. And here's what the Lord showed me, and I wrote it down, so I don't want to forget it. Up to the brim means that they took what Jesus told them to do as far as they could take it. And if you've ever filled a glass full, I'm talking about plumb to the brim, you can get down to where you can look across the top of it and it's humped up, right? You ever seen that? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, it's just one drop from overflowing. One more drop and it's going over the banks. It's going to go over and out off the over the sides. May God help us to instead of looking, Brother Webb, for shortcuts and, well, the Lord said for us to do this, but maybe we can get by with that. Maybe God help us to take what Jesus tells us and go as far with it as we can go. You say, well, preach, if we do that, we'll be a fanatic. I've been saved 35 years and I've never met a fanatic yet for Jesus. I've never met anybody that's went too far and living too holy, that's doing too much, serving too much, witnessing too much, praying too much. Amen. Now keep this in mind now. This is good. This will help you right here. When they started filling those water pots with water, keep in mind they were water pots of stone. I saw that. That stuck out to me when I was reading it a while ago in your hearing. They were 6 water pots of stone, and so that meant they were heavy. They didn't pick those water pots up and carry them, probably. Unlikely. And it is likely, Brother Webb, that they probably had pots or some kind of buckets, containers. And then they had to make a trip. They didn't have running water. They had running water. They had to run and get it. And Brother Brad, over there, water wasn't in an abundance. You couldn't just see water everywhere. There may have been a well here and a spring over yonder. And how long do you think it took them to fill up 6 water pots, having to dump in a pail and walk ever how far and get it filled up again, carry it all the way back and dump it in? Here's the point I believe God wants us to get before we leave tonight. You may not be filled to the brim, but you ought to be making trips to the well. And every time you pour a bucket in, you ought to say, Lord, I'm not fully filled yet, but I'm working on it. I'm not filled to the brim yet. I'm not in full 100%. I'm not complied 100%, but Lord, I'm working on it. Amen. And God help us to be working on it. How many of us in here are working on it? Being filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. I thought that was good myself. Now what was it? Let me give you this. What was it that they were to fill that water pot with? Water, right? Water in the Bible is a type of the Word of God. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:26. Fill yourself with the Word. You can go, and I don't have time to do that tonight, but you can go to Colossians 3:16 and compare it to Ephesians 5:19, and you can see a parallel. 5:19 of Ephesians talks about the fruit of being filled with the Spirit. You speak to yourself in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You turn to Colossians 3:16, I believe it is, Colossians 3:16, yep, and you'll find the same general thing stated about letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Being filled with the Word of God is being filled with the Spirit of God. Don't expect Jesus to transform your life to wine, which is a type of joy in the Bible, if you don't give him something to transform. Amen. Jesus said, fill him with water. Fill your life with the Word of God, and then watch me work. Watch me work. Amen. Amen, that's good. The completeness of being filled. And they filled them to the brim. Had they partially obeyed, I want to stress that again, it would have canceled the miracle. And I hope we go home with that tonight. I hope we go home with that tonight. Don't expect the supernatural from God if we're not willing to do what Jesus said. Amen. I tell you what we need. We need a revival of obedience. We need a revival that says, Lord, I surrender whatever you want in my life. I'll do it. I know that's big. And I know this. Very few people in church are there. I'm talking about this church, any church I go to, very few people is at that point to where they have opened their arms up to the Lord and said, Lord, no contracts. No contracts, Lord. No conditions. Here I am, Lord. Unconditional surrender, whatever you want, wherever you want it, however long you want it, here I am, Lord. And young people, let me tell you, that is the secret for you to have joy. Joy, I'm talking about Christian joy. There is delight for the journey. I know, maybe I spend too much time talking about the difficulties and the darkness and all of that and the evil days, and that is a reality in the Scripture. But I want you to know, praise God, you can have joy no matter what's going on in your life. Happiness depends on happenings. Joy depends on the Spirit of God's moving and working in your life. You can have joy, Brother Samuel Allen said, happiness depends on happenings. Joy is depends on the Holy Spirit, or is in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. He said you can have joy when nothing's happening. Or you can have joy, Brother Franklin, when everything that is happening, most of it is negative. We talked about that in the men's prayer room tonight, about how it seemed like it's just relentless. The pressures of life, and this one's having this problem, and that's having that problem. And one person told me today, said, Preacher, I just don't know that I can't even see. And they held their hands up and said, I just can't even see no light at the end of the tunnel. Y'all get that? I'm talking about RBT-er. Yeah. You said, Preacher, I didn't know we had anybody like that going through something like that. Hey, count on it. Every time we meet, there's somebody sitting on these pews, buddy, that's in the thick of it. They're going through it. Their back's against the wall. They've got things going on in their life. They're scratching their head. They don't have a clue what in the world's going on. And, Lord, why is this happening to me? And why is that going on? And, Lord, I'm praying about this, but seem like the more I pray, the harder it gets and the worse it gets. And I don't understand. The more I go, I don't understand. They held their hands up. With tears puddled up in the bottom of their eye. And they said, Preacher, I can't see. I can't seem to see. No light at the end of the tunnel. Folks, I'm telling you, that's why we're trying to, on Saturday nights, and we've handed out the prayer list of our church, just a basic name list, just a place to start. You can add to it right on there, whatever. Because we need to generate, the burden of my heart behind that was to generate us praying one for another, because I promise you, you may be in the sunshine, amen, but a lot of people around you is probably in a dark time. And the last thing they need is to come into service and it be dead as 4 o'clock. The last thing they need. Amen, that's right. There ain't no reason why RBT can't be power. No reason for it. Amen. And just an occasional good service, there's no excuse for that. Amen. Are y'all listening to preacher? And I know you, surely you share my heart on that. We have one or two good services every now and then. And they come fairly regular around here, and I'm thankful for that, but not near regular enough. It ought to be normal. When we come to the house of God, there ought to be so much power in this place. It ought to be normal. It ought to be just normal that God permeates this place and the Shekinah glory is in this place and sinners getting saved. It ought to be a regular occurrence. Man, we had a good service the other week. What? Brother King even dealt with that on Friday night Jubilee. Remember that? Come in here on Wednesday night. I'm telling you, it was beyond thick. It was beyond thick. It was waters to swim in. We come in here on Friday night, you couldn't tell it. That's not God's will, folks. You know that's right. That's not God's will that we have a great service here, God moves, and then we come back the next service and it's nowhere to be found. We didn't have an official called service on that Thursday night following that Wednesday night that it got so high. You remember? We just said, well, we'll just come and whoever wants to come and pray. I thought, man, after the service we had Wednesday night, I said, this place will be packed with RBTers, hungry. I think there was 23 or 4 showed up. You know what I left out of here saying in my heart? I'm sure glad I didn't call service. Because this preacher would have been one unhappy cat if I'd have called service to come in here on Thursday night because it blowed out Wednesday night thinking, man, revival's on, and come in here on Thursday night and 24 people show up. It probably wouldn't have been too good on Sunday morning. I'm just simply saying we're nowhere close to being where God wants us to be. We may compare ourselves, Brother Jason, to other churches, and that is not the will of God. They that compare themselves among themselves are not wise, Paul told the Corinthian believers. We may be a step or two above this one or that one. We may look good and compare to that, but I want to tell you they're not our standard. We're not going to go to the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord say, okay, RBT, we're going to judge you compared to this church over here and that church over there. No, no, no. We're going to be held accountable for the will of God for us, what the revealed light to us, what God has showed us that He wants us to be doing individually, collectively as well. If one service every now and then is good and great and glorious and wonderful and woo, why wouldn't it be good to have that 2 or 3 times a week? Now, don't get me wrong what I'm about to say. I know anytime God blesses us, it's grace. I know that. I understand that. But I don't think that every time God meets with us, He intends for it to be a grace meeting. I believe there's sometimes that God meets with us that it's a result of answered prayer. People's been hungry and praying and seeking God's face, and God said, I'm going to move at RBT. I'm going to move because they've asked me to. Instead of moving in grace, Miss Wanda, which means undeserved favor, and you know. And of course, don't get me wrong. I know we would never deserve His presence. I understand that. But He ought to move sometimes because we give Him a reason to move. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. We're to give Him a reason to move. Amen. He ought to be moving. And that's not to puff us up in pride and go out here strutting like a turkey, you know, or a peacock strutting around saying, man, the Lord moved because we pray. Or the Lord moves at RBT because we're so sanctified. No. God help us. Do we want to go to another level? That's the thing. Do we want to go to another level? If you want, oh yes, thank you, Lord. If you want to go to another level, then raise your water pot level to another level. Amen. Because whatever you put in the pot is what God will use. And the more you put in the pot, the more you'll use. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? Live your whole life quarter full Christian, 1/4 full Christian. Live your whole life, girls, 1/4 full. And God says, fill to the brim. Live your whole life. That enables you to go to church and enjoy being sitting on the front row and whoo, every once in a while. But then when you get to heaven at the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord says, yeah, here's what a 1/4 life produces, 1/4 filled life produces. But let me show you what a full life would have produced. And we're all going to say, oh, Lord, forgive me for living a one-fourth full life instead of a full life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, help us tonight. I pray, Lord, that God, you'd challenge us with the truth of being filled with the Spirit. And Lord, being filled with the Spirit of God is not a preacher subject. Being filled with the Spirit of God is a Christian subject. Every church member, young or old, every boy, girl, mom, dad, grandparent, everyone, everybody that's born again, Lord, it's expected of us to be filled with the Spirit. And Lord, may we know tonight, and Lord, may it be driven in our heart afresh and anew, that us being filled with the Spirit of God is inseparably connected to our obedience. Lord, I pray that there'll be some, and maybe some have done it before, but it's been a while, and it's something that needs to be renewed, something that needs to be refreshed, to where we get in an altar and saying, we say, oh God, afresh and anew, I surrender all. Afresh and anew, Lord, I want to say to you, Lord, whatsoever that you would say unto me, help me, Lord, to do it. Lord, I comply right now to be obedient, to be an obedient Christian. Lord, for me to go to another level, my spiritual life, and with the miraculous and the supernatural, then I've got to take my the level, water level of the Word in my the pot of my life. I need to take it to another level. I need to fill it to the brim. I need to take it as far in my obedience as I possibly can. Lord, forgive us for having that's good enough attitude. God, forgive us for having I'm doing more than most attitude. Lord, help us, dear Lord, to realize we're going to be held accountable and we're going to be judged by the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us and deal with us. Lord, I want your blessings on other churches, but Lord, my main interest tonight, my main interest, Lord, is RBT. Lord, I want your power in this place. And I know the devil's fighting tooth and nail, and he's attacking people, individuals. He's putting pressure on us. But Lord, he doesn't kick a dead horse. The devil doesn't fight a church if there's no threat. Lord, I believe the devil is attacking this church because we have a desire, Lord, to see you do something. Not just here, but in other countries even, through our mission outreach, mission effort. In the country of Haiti specifically, through Brother Pridmore and his family. Dear Lord, I ask you to help me as a pastor. Lord, that I would not live off of the good enough mentality. God, forgive us, God, for looking for the comfortable zone and look for the convenient path, the path of least resistance. God, help us, Lord, to pray as Jesus prayed in the garden. Not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, I wonder how many of us tonight can honestly and truthfully say that. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. I wonder if we actually can use the model prayer and say, Lord, we want your will done on earth as it's being done in heaven. And Lord, I can't answer for other people, and I don't know what they're doing, and I'm not going to stand before God in their behalf, nor will they stand in my behalf. Lord, help me to take it personal and be filled, desire to be filled, to be obedient, fill my life with the Word of God, fill my life with the water of the Word of God, and then watch you take that Word, take that level of the Word and transform it to meet the needs. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, drive it home to us tonight. Oh God, drive it home to us tonight. That it's not the wicked and the ungodly. It is not the sinners, Lord, that are hindering Jesus from performing the supernatural. But it is rather the disobedient, or even the partially obedient, that only obeys to a certain degree and only obeys to a certain point. That's the ones, Lord, that's hindering you from working. Help us tonight. Lord, may this not be just a little sermonette, but may it be a challenge to us, and may we take it home with us. Lord, I've spent many hours meditating upon this subject. Lord, it's been, I don't know why, that you've not led us back to this message now for 3 or 4 weeks, but that's not up for me to decide. Lord, I came tonight with every intention of trying my very best to finish the message, but as I began to deal with it, it began to burn and develop and burden my heart afresh as we tried to bring out, Lord, what your will is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. It is, dear God, that we be filled with the Spirit of God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.